Welcome to Strong Body, Quiet Mind, where Qigong master and yoga teacher Frankie Hart discusses the ancient practices of yoga and Tai Chi Qigong as potent forms of vibrational medicine. Embark with her on a journey that illuminates these time-honored traditions as pathways to optimal alignment in a modern world. Get ready to cultivate strength in your body and tranquility in your mind as we contemplate life's most important questions. The podcast you're about to hear was previously recorded with the Podcast Business News Network and features the radio personalities of Casey Armstrong, Jill Nicolini, and Steve Harper.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. So the chakra system, so important in harnessing and controlling the energy within your body, which kind of controls everything within your life. And we've been learning on these podcasts about the chakra system, and every week we take a different one and dig deep into it. I don't know anybody that's ever done that before, but we're doing that. And she's helping us out with that. She's all about yoga, energy healing. She's a Master Life Qigong instructor, certified Lifeline practitioner, and she's with Satya Life Yoga, and she's Frankie Hart. She's back with us. Hey, Frankie.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
Good to be here with you. And did I say that right, Qigong?
Yes, perfectly.
Wonderful. All right. So we're up to the heart chakra. For anybody that just found us, maybe we should just give a explanation of what a chakra is.
Beautiful. I love that. So the chakras are considered energy wheels or vortexes that lie predominantly, the first seven, along the spine, beginning at the root of the spine near the tailbone in the pelvic floor, and going all the way up to the crown chakra at the top of the head.
And we have seven major chakras. There's
yes,
many other ones, but we're not focusing on those. The seven are like the key, the baseline.
Yes.
And the heart chakra is, of course, located where your heart is.
Mm-hmm. And it's the center one of the seven. So we're at number four. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, we talk about the lower chakras being more to do with the physical world and the higher chakras more to do with the spiritual world. So right here at the heart chakra, we're at the meeting point.
We're at the crossroads.
We're at the crossroads. Yes, okay. Yes.
So why is the heart chakra, and of course, we all have this view of the heart chakra being the one that harnesses love, relationships, not so much though, right?
Well, in some ways, yes. In some ways, yes. And in other ways, like when we were talking about the second chakra, you know, we were talking about how our sensuality, our sexuality is very much related to second chakra. Mm-hmm. But here at the heart chakra, we could say that all relationships have something to do with our heart chakra.
Let's say, and maybe I'm digressing for just a moment, but let's say you were in a relationship and it went bad. Mm-hmm. And let's say you got your heart broken.
Yes.
Would that affect your heart chakra?
Absolutely. And I would say you're one of everyone else on the planet.
Of course.
Right? I mean, most of us, after we've come to a certain point in our life, we've experienced heartache of some kind, maybe romantic. Maybe we lost our parents at a young age. Maybe we ourselves had some kind of tragedy in our life. And so every time we have that sensation that our heart has been broken, this is the heart chakra talking to us. And I think, Steve, we're talking on something that's really important, which is why of all the chakras, people who know nothing about yoga sort of go, oh, heart chakra, I've got that, right? When we think of our heart, we think of it as an organ, but we also, all of us have so much language about my heart feels this or my heart tells me that. Very few people are saying, oh, my liver told me I should do this, or my kidneys are advising me, or, you know, even though we know we feel emotion in our gut, right? But we don't talk about that so much, so specifically. But when it comes to our heart, we culturally are very comfortable with listening and understanding that there's more going on than just an organ health, right? That there is this energy center that's both giving us information and receiving information. And when I say information, I really mean energy, right?
Well, it's been said, you know, you have a gut feeling and you know, that's somewhere in a lower chakra. Your heart is, we're all programmed with emotion. So the heart chakra is an important one because it centers around emotion. So question for you, we talk about that energy. We talk about getting your chakras cleared of maybe negative energy or troublesome energy. You gave an example, Frankie, before. Let's say you had a relative close to you pass many years ago.
Yes.
Is it possible that you still have stored up energy from that passing in your heart chakra decades later?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's one of the things I want to talk with us today about, Steve, is how do we heal our heart chakra? How do we create resonance, which is that feeling of being one within ourselves, but also with other people in relationship, and even with those who've passed, right? These important relationships in our life, rather than to feel that, especially as children, rather than to feel that this loved one was stolen from us, right, taken from us. I met a young girl once whose mom died very young of cancer, and she was having an issue with stealing, like, you know, little things around the house, stealing her mom's this or her dad's that. And I was talking with her, and I said, why do you think you do this? And she said, well, my mom was stolen from me, right? And so she felt like it didn't matter that she did these things. These were very small things to take something from her stepmom or her dad. And it was a beautiful conversation to start to have with her about, you know, what does that mean to her? And what is there another way of looking at it rather than her mom was stolen, right? And as a very young girl, she, you know, was just developing a way to relate to this, right? So for each of us, we experience something. And when something is traumatic, it's a little bit more or a lot more than we can integrate in the moment, right? And so the time that we have after that, we can consciously work towards a healing. And that doesn't always happen with talking about the trauma itself, but with helping ourselves move towards a new place of balance, a new place of self-efficacy, or like I'm saying, resonance. So in the heart chakra, when our heart chakra is balanced, we have the ability to let go of past hurt, whether it's, you know, a bad emotional breakup, a painful divorce, the loss of someone near to us. Yeah.
I'm trying to better understand this, and maybe for all of us.
Yes.
So that trauma took place, let's say, 20 years ago.
Yes.
You still have that energy in your heart chakra.
You may.
You have that energy cleared out, let's say, through Reiki or chakra balancing, right?
And your participation in it. So that's a really important thing, Steve. When we are experiencing energetic healing, it's so important to understand that you are a co-creator in this situation, right? That the person who's with you is helping guide you, like a tour guide, you know, in Tibet, taking you up the mountain. But you are the one making that journey. And so one of my main concepts I want to share with everybody today is you are the only one responsible for how you feel.
Wow.
And as much as that's really empowering, it can also be a little intimidating.
Well, you know, for getting your chakras balanced, everything's about intention, so I totally have that.
Yes.
But
yes.
Is it reasonable to just let the Reiki practitioner do their thing, or do you physically need to be thinking certain things while it's going on?
Lovely question. I love that question. So if you're working with someone that you trust and who's doing energy work with you, or a yoga teacher or a Tai Chi teacher, the main thing, Steve, is to be receptive. So if you know something about the energetic work or the practice that they're doing, then you can be kind of a co-creator, as I'm saying, quite actively in the moment. Or in all the practices in meditation, say, or Shavasana, we're asking ourselves to go into a place of surrender. And surrender means that I'm letting go of effort. But as long as I'm letting go of effort, let's talk about a really more important thing, I'm letting go of resistances. So it is really beautiful to be able to just let go, come to a relaxed state, and be, and give yourself that moment, which is an enormous part of the healing itself, to be comfortable not doing anything but just being, which allows you to come in a state of meditation where you are healing yourself.
So I have another question. Sometimes I get a little technical, but this is how my mind works. I want to learn as much as I can for all of us. You had that passing event that affected your heart chakra years ago. You have the energy cleared out by a Reiki practitioner.
Is it? I don't think you can have that done just by them. And that's kind of where I'm kind of getting in a dance with you here, Steve, is I don't think.
Because I'm not going to stop.
Right. No. I don't think you can just have someone else do something to you, right? What it is more is that you're looking for this, you're opening your heart to have another way of being with yourself. And so you have a Reiki practitioner or a Qigong master or a yoga teacher or a Tai Chi teacher or a counselor being there with you as you transition, giving you perhaps the encouragement, the support to start to let go of this in a way that is safe and comfortable for you.
Okay. If you've cleared it successfully, okay?
Okay.
Does it come back? Let's say you have thoughts that, you know, a memory from 20 years ago where, you know, there was, let's say, a passing of a loved one and, you know, maybe they're sad thoughts. Does that energy come back in the heart chakra? And at some point you probably need to clear it out again?
Grieving, you know, grieving is such a beautiful topic here at the heart because in traditional Chinese medicine, the heart chakra, the heart chakra is the heart, but it's also the lungs. And in traditional Chinese medicine, the lungs are where we experience joy and grief. That's what the lungs govern. When we experience loss, it's very healthy and actually essential for us to move through grief. There is Dr. Ellen Wolfelt defines PTSD actually as unprocessed grief. It's a really powerful statement, isn't it? So this feeling of feeling sad or grieving is actually in and of itself very healthy. When we can't get to the other side of it, right? That is where we want some support. That's where maybe it's hanging on too long. So in terms of grieving, we all grieve in our own way and in our own cycles. And it would be very normal to, say, work through a grief in this moment. And then 5 years later, all of a sudden you have another wave of grief moving through, right? Maybe something has happened. Maybe it's an anniversary of that time. That is very, very healthy, I believe. When the heart chakra is, let me talk about a few ideas of when the heart chakra is blocked, right? So we can kind of look at this a little bit different than just the natural emotion of feeling sad. So I've put a little things together in a list, but yeah, I think it'll start to give us a picture of this. If my heart chakra is blocked, I become untrusting, right? Untrusting of myself, untrusting of other people. I might have codependent relationships rather than healthy relationships. I might feel deep within myself unworthy or unlovable, right? I think that many people harbor that on some small level, that there's a part of them, if someone really knew them, they would not love them, you know? Like, and that's sort of that representative that shows up sometimes, right? Especially on the first couple of dates, right? So we want to, with our heart chakra, come to accept all of ourselves, to love all of ourselves. And we'll talk a little more about that. Also, when the heart chakra has blockages, we fear intimacy. Like maybe at a superficial level, we're like, hey, the life of the party, but things get too close, people get too close, and all of a sudden we're backing away. We tend to be very judgmental or self-critical, right? We might be jealous, right? So in the first time, everything is wonderful, but then your loved one, you know, is having a conversation with someone else, and all of a sudden everything is terrible. You know, what are they doing? Or we might hold grudges. We might be overly defensive. And then this is one that I really like to think about, is we might find ourselves often in the role of rescuer or victim in relationships, right? Because you know how we were just talking a little moment ago about just being. In a healthy relationship, in the best relationship, we can just be with each other, right? And you know, the moment where you're just hanging out and relaxing, no words even need to be said, right? Mm-hmm. And when we don't feel comfortable within ourselves in our heart chakra, we tend to feel like we have to be always doing something. We have to be helping that person.
Overcompensating. Yeah.
Overcompensating. Or we feel very needy. And so this person makes us feel okay about ourselves because they're telling us that we're okay. But if they're not doing these things for us, if they're not showing up, if they're not showering us with gifts and compliments all the time, then all of a sudden we think, oh, they don't love me anymore. And I need that. I need to feel that, or I feel victimized, right? Wow. So the whole idea of a codependent relationship is really here, very much can be explored at the heart chakra. And I think one of the things that I like to look at here is that a blocked heart chakra feels often resentment, right? We say we're single, things are not working out for us right now. And some friend says, oh my gosh, I met the most wonderful person and we're getting married and la, 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 la. And instead of feeling joy for them, we just are resentful. Like, oh, why is it happening to everybody else, but not me, right?
Always a bridesmaid.
Exactly. Yeah, right. How many movies are there about how many bridesmaid dresses the girl wore, right? So what is really important, though, on a very profound level, is that resentment can actually be an emotion underneath many addictions, right? Hmm. So it's something we really want to look at, right? If we feel resentment, we want to find ways to help our own heart heal, to build this process of feeling love for ourselves and acceptance for ourselves.
I believe, and this is why I asked some of those questions earlier, that some believe that, oh, well, I just go to a practitioner and I get my chakras cleared out and things are going to be way better, but it's not that easy. You need to take the steps to heal. Yes, you can clear some of that energy out, make it better, but it's not going to be unless you've done, and I always say this, everything is work, everything is work. You've done the work to help heal yourself, even breathing. They call it breath work. In yoga and such.
Yes, we do. And what I want to share with that is if it's work, in yoga, we have this sutra that says everything should have a balance of effort and ease. And so when we say it's work, that's the effort part. And that word is tihira. So if we don't do the work, here I like to say in the heart chakra, it's about showing up, isn't it? Right? It takes some work sometimes to show up, to be courageous, right? Mm-hmm. Courageousness is from the heart. The root of the word courage is about the heart. But then if it's all work, then we don't have the ease or the playfulness. And we all know that relationships, one of the first things that happens if a relationship dries up is we don't have that playfulness, right? But same with ourselves, right? So if we feel very, very self-critical, if we feel unlovable, and somebody says, you have to do the work, you might feel like, I'm already doing a lot of work just getting out of bed in the morning. I need a little playtime, right? And that's why little children or animals can really help a person open up their heart again. Because I remember one time I drove into my sister's driveway. She lives in Long Island. And at the time, she had 5 little children. And I hadn't even gotten out of the car. And these 5 kids were just running out in the driveway to hug me. And I was just in heaven, right? Because I was single. And I didn't have children in my life. And it was just so magical, right? And the thing is we have these magical moments with relationships all around us if we can open our hearts to them, right?
Yeah, and learn from it. You know, just what
and
you
learn
said.
From them.
Yeah, and you don't know until you know, until you feel that joy. And then inside you're like, oh man, that felt good. I haven't felt that. I just adopted a kitten, another one, over the weekend.
Yes.
And I feel like a kid. I'm walking around talking to it, you know, like a baby voice, and I'm picking it up.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it's so adorable.
And that is heart chakra right there, because there are so many kinds of love, Steve. And that's one of the things I wanted to send out as we're approaching Valentine's Day is, you know, on Valentine's Day, we tend to think of our loved one or our partner, our romantic partner, but I love to think of all of the different kinds of love we have in our life, right? Because sometimes we have a romantic partner, sometimes we don't. We talked before about taking yourself out on a date, but what about all of the other kinds of love that you have in your life? And these relationships actually teach us a lot about how to love, right? And the more we know how to love ourselves, which sounds really selfish at first, but it is not. The more we can love ourselves, the more we can love another person. And we give the other person who we're in relationship with freedom to be who they are, because we are not depending on them for our own happiness, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people go down that road and don't realize they're doing it. And now they've already traveled down that road. And years later, things are misaligned. And then, as we always say, you know, you have a reevaluation of your life. Could be 5 years in. Some say 9 is a pinnacle point for reevaluating. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and say, wait a minute, whatever happened to me? You know, I'm part of the other half. And you probably should never say that. You know, it's a bad description.
Right. Right. I personally was never interested in that kind of imagery for my my romantic partner. Exactly. I wanted someone to play with. I wanted someone to stand beside, walk with, talk with, play with, dance with, you know, cry with, all of those things, but not someone to be the better me or, you know, let's inspire each other, but not complete each other. Like that movie that everyone loved, Jerry Maguire. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trouble with that. You know, if it's literal, you know, that can be very troublesome.
Yeah. But it's so true. When you take a look at relationships, many of them, where that person thinks they need the other person to be a full unit and whole, but because they haven't figured out how to love themselves. And I truly believe it's very unfortunate that there isn't a stigma attached to saying, I love myself.
I agree.
It's like egotistical, but it's not.
Right. It is not. It is emotional health. And I, in many ways, Steve, I often talk about, I wish in school, or there was another way to really do emotional health programs for children, because it is so important, right? So important to understand how to process anger, how to be sad, and really that loving yourself is so beautiful and essential. And it's a gift. It is a gift that you give everyone. If you don't love yourself, it is difficult, like what you were saying at work, right? So let's talk a little bit about some details about the heart chakra. So maybe we can inspire people to dive in a little bit on what it means to create balance.
And I'm just going to say, we have 3 minutes left.
Oh, no way.
Ish. Yeah. How did that happen?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So in the heart chakra, the words that I like to think of are connection and compassion, right? Connection and compassion, this sense of loving kindness. And the idea of to hold, to heal, to help. You know, when I was writing those words, I noticed that, you know, in many wedding vows, that's to have and to hold. Do notice that to have is not in there. And that's a little of what we were talking about. You remain your own person, right? So we can hold each other, we can help each other, we can help heal each other, but we have ourself, right? We have our own self-efficacy, which we share with each other. The name Anahata is a Sanskrit name for the heart chakra, and it means unstruck. And this is so beautiful, because we were talking about being hurt, and when we feel hurt, we can feel damaged. We can feel our heart is broken. Our heart has been hurt. I love Carly Simon's song, I Don't Mind If I Fall Apart. There's more room in a broken heart. And I believe in love. I think that is absolutely the heart chakra. We grow through those. And Leonard Cohen in There's a Crack in Everything. That's where the light gets in, right? So we don't want to think that if we have suffered loss with our heart, that we are less than. We want to think we're brave, right? We're brave. The element of the heart chakra is the air, and that's because it's expansive and free. And that's how we want our love to feel. And the seed syllable is called yum, and it means to let go, to breathe, and to give. And doesn't that sound like wonderful qualities for a relationship, right? To let go, to breathe, and to live. In the meditation that I wanted to share just briefly with you is that if you softly close your eyes and you think of someone that you love very, very much, you can surround them with the feeling of loving kindness or compassion from your heart chakra. And that feels really good.
Let me say that again, because that was very, that was powerful. And I like half got it.
Like, okay,
how
good.
You saying that?
So you want to imagine someone you love very much. This could even be your new kitten. And surround the image of this person or this being with the loving kindness of your heart chakra. And then softly let that go and think of someone that you see, but you don't know very much, like a barista at your favorite coffee shop or a clerk at a store you go to that you see. And just see this person and surround this person with the loving kindness of your heart. And then let that go and pull in the image of someone with whom right now you have a little struggle, some struggle, and see the image of this person and surround the image of this person with the loving kindness of your heart. And now, finally, Steve, see yourself and surround this image of yourself with the loving kindness of your heart chakra.
The visuals are pretty powerful.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
We know what it is to love. We really do. It's just, do we give ourselves the opportunity, right, to do it?
What Carly Simon song did you mention before? Because there's another one.
Yes. The verse I mentioned is, I know it starts with like baby sneezes, mommy pleases, daddy. I don't remember the title of it, but she says, I don't mind if I fall apart. There's more room in a broken heart. And I believe in love.
Well, based on what we were just talking about, one of her very early songs, That's the Way I Always Heard It Should Be.
Yes.
Is
that might be it.
I don't think it is.
Another one.
That we're riffing on that, but I'm going to grab your lyrics real quick because it says about
excellent
being in relationships.
Yes.
And basically the song is about looking at your parents and how they're not really happy because they're... It's just not working, but she's singing it from the point of she's with somebody and she says, you say we can keep our love alive, babe. All I know is what I see. Couples clinging, claw and drown in love's debris. You say we'll soar like two birds through the clouds, but soon you'll cage me on your shelf. I'll never learn to be just me first by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So. You got, that's what we just said
right.
in a song. It's so funny.
Right.
You mentioned Carly Simon. But it's, you know, one's about love and one's about loving yourself, being yourself before
being
you're
yourself.
Into that relationship where maybe somebody else is a little too clingy, you know, overbearing.
Yeah. And you know, the important thing here is that the smallest step is so significant. So the smallest step of being kinder to yourself, gentler with yourself, more accepting, more gratitude, you know, around the blessings that you do have, more satisfied. These things come so beautifully. And so the mantra that I wanted to share with people is this, what I started earlier, because I think it's so empowering. And we are adults now. I think most people listening to the show. And that is, I am the only person responsible for how I feel. And I can choose. I can choose to feel love, regardless of the conditions of my life. I can choose to feel love.
Or the condition of your chakra.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you do that. That heart chakra is going to shine.
and we all have choices. And you can choose that. your heart chakra, for lack of a better description, may have been beaten up. You know, yes. It got kicked a couple of times. Yes. But if you let it in and maybe get rid of that negative energy.
And that's, you know, that's so interesting you said that, Steve, because I was thinking this morning as I was thinking about the podcast, you know, you're probably familiar with that concept of the wounded warrior, right? Sure. The wounded warrior or the wounded healer, right? So the idea of a wounded healer is it is absolutely through the experience of the wounds or the journey that the healing capability was awakened within that person, right? Mm. So it is the same with us, you know, who can love more? Someone who has really understood, right? That's powerful. That's powerful. To love despite knowing, you know, that we will at some point, you know, there can be a change. There can be a loss. We can guard our heart and protect our heart. But, you know, when you do that, you try not to let the bad stuff in, but you don't let the good stuff in either. And your life is not going to feel as rich as you want it to.
So I'm going to listen on the way home today, the Eagles, Try to Love Again. Another song.
Beautiful. Yes. Hey, I wanted to ask you, I started my yoga class this morning having everyone share their favorite love song. Do you have a favorite love song?
You are pushing me today. Something in the Way She Moves. James Taylor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just popped in my head. I don't know why.
That's a good one.
And I can't sing, but actually, I'm gonna say that's the second.
Okay, what's the first?
And I wasn't singing. I was singing Something in the Way She Moves by James Taylor, but I think the best love song is Something by the Beatles. When you listen to those lyrics, and I was never a big Beatles fan when I was younger. It's just, you know, I'm like, meh, whatever. And then as I got older, I would listen, I'm like, wow, this is really good stuff, you know?
Yeah. The Beatles have quite a few songs that are just tremendously connected with the heart chakra. Mm. And the songs seem very simple at first, but like you're saying, you know, they connect. And when you really tune in, it's really beautiful.
So we went way over time here, but I don't care.
We did. Oh, okay.
And they're going to cut us off any second, but love song from you, your favorite.
I choose today, Make You Feel My Love, which was originally written by Bob Dylan and then covered by Garth Brooks and recently Adele.
Yes. And there's been others that have done that song. There's been others that have done
there
that song.
Have. Look
that
up. Yeah. Yes. Hmm. Yes. When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear and there is no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. And what I love about this song is, as you listen to it, there's both sides. There's one person who's so rich in their love that they say, I can do this. And there's another person who's so hurt that they don't know if they can even receive it, right? And I think we have both of those within us, Steve. I really do. I think every one of us has so much love to give and also a little afraid of being rejected, you know, and a little afraid because we've been hurt in the past. And so when I listen to that song, I just love to feel both sides of me and to understand that as the human condition. Yeah.
When you sing those lyrics, I hear the song. Like, and I feel the love. I feel the emotion that comes out of that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. We're over time and we have like literally seconds left. Your website, if somebody wants to reach out to you, even for anything that you offer, guidance, certainly yoga is that can be done virtually in some regards, but what's your website?
Absolutely. Satya Life, Satya Life, LIFE.com. And I do private sessions and yoga classes on Zoom.
It is always wonderful talking with you.
Thank you, Steve. Same
really
here.
Yeah, we learned so much and look forward next time. Before they cut us off, I got to go.
Absolutely. Bye, right. Steve.
Thank you for being a part of our Strong Body, Quiet Mind community. We hope you return for more captivating conversations with Frankie on the philosophies of yoga and Tai Chi Qigong. Until next time, remember that you have the power within you to create a strong body and quiet mind.